We've been speaking in a series. You'll observe that since the church camp, we have been speaking the series. I've got one here. I don't want to give to anybody to write, fill up forms here. It says like this. I love my church. Can you say that? I love my church. I love my church. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm hearing some maybe. I'm hearing some maybe. There is no maybes. Let me say you're half pregnant. You're not fully pregnant yet. So you must be impregnated by the word of God every day. Amen? You must be impregnated in the spirit man by the word of God. When we love a church is not a building, I told you the other day. We are trying to get our church right, right? We are not a church or building. We gather here for a reason. And we are here today for a reason. And why we are here? Because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen? How many of you say that? We are citizens of what? We are gathered as members of the household of God. Amen. So we forgot that very much. Huh? So if you are in the household of God, what do? You are a blessing to another person. So can you turn around somebody and say, I am a blessing to you. Tell somebody, go and speak to somebody who has come new today and tell them, I'm a blessing to you. Anyway, I can help you. You take them out for a coffee, lunch afterwards. You are a blessing to somebody today. Amen. So unless we are a blessing to somebody, we don't get hurt because we don't expect somebody to become a blessing. Right? So we must be a blessing first before we can go. I spoke about, number one, why are we gathered here today? We are a member of the household of God. Number two, why are we gathered here for? Number one, the first E is what? To establish. Second E is what? Encourage. Third E is to equip. So who is the pastor supposed to equip? Is the pastor the only man here in the world, you know, sitting down in this church, must encourage, must establish and equip? Hello? Why suddenly silence? Every one of us are gathered here to establish one another, to encourage one another, to equip one another. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And last week, what did you speak? And you see, Paul was called as a prisoner. Right? Last week, you spoke about Paul. And we said, Paul is a prisoner. He said, I'm a prisoner in Christ Jesus. We don't want to become a prisoner in the world. We don't want to become slaves or prisoners of sins. But we want to be a prisoner in Christ Jesus. Amen? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. We talked about it. And we talked, the last point which I didn't finish yet last week was, 2 weeks ago was, that he was a prisoner for a reason. What was the reason he was a prisoner for? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1. For whom? For whom was he a prisoner? Can you turn to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1? He was a prisoner for? He was a prisoner in Christ Jesus for a purpose. He had a purpose, a mission. For the Gentiles. For the people who were not called to be chosen. He was called to go out and preach and bring the people who are lost to the kingdom of God. So he had a purpose. The purpose he had is one purpose, one vision. And that vision he has to fulfill. Amen. So we know why he was a prisoner. We talked about it in detail. We talked about a couple of things. And the last thing we must understand, there is a reason why he said that. For you Gentiles. He was set aside as a prisoner for the Gentiles. He went through all those pains. He says, I go down on my knees for you today. He didn't say, I'm going down on my knees for myself. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. He says, I'm kneeling down because for you, he says. How many of us pray every day and it's for somebody else? It's not for us. Tell me, honestly, right, in our prayers, in everyday life, we don't say, God, take care of my health. My body's paining here, my headache today. Oh, God, take care of my, you know, finances. God, I'll take care of my son, my wife, my father. But you prayed, God, I want to pray for somebody today that I do not know. I do not know the person. But I know, Lord, you are doing something in this world. And I want to pray for that person. And I want to pray for my neighbor who's beside me. That you'll bless him. We don't do that. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. My pocket is empty. I'm hungry. It's about my health. It's about somebody else. So he says now, Paul says very clearly, I'm set aside. I'm a prisoner in Christ Jesus for one reason, for the Gentiles, for you Gentiles. So we have to fulfill the prisoner's calling. That's the calling, bless you. That's the calling that we have got in our life. To fulfill everything that we talked about, we can be a prisoner, that we can be, we saw how he took it so lightly, but a prisoner for a reason. The reason was for the Gentiles, to save life, to save people, to give people life. Just now we talked about in John chapter 6, he said, I am the life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood, I will give him eternal life. On the last day, I will raise him up, he says, Jesus says. On the last day, he will raise him up. So today, in order for us to bring the word of God to somebody, so we are set aside to evangelize to somebody else. Amen? If we cannot smile at our own friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we cannot remember, smile at the people beside us. How could we smile to the people outside? Amen? We can't smile to the people outside because we don't know how to smile. We have not learned how to smile in the church. Amen. Let's go on to the next one. I want to talk today about something in chapter 2. You see, I'll be jumping from chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 on Ephesians because it's something that God is speaking to this church and to every one of us today. Today, let's turn to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2, Ephesians. If you read from the beginning, you'll find that it talks about a couple of things. Number one, from verse 1 itself, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it talks about the salvation, talks about the amazing salvation God has given to our lives. Saving salvation is given to us. Then it goes on to talk about ourselves, and it says that we are all lost people before, and 1 to 3 and 4 to 6, you'll find that. He said we are people who are lost, and we were without directions, and God brought us back here and gave us salvation. He talks about a grace. Then in verse 12, he talks about, as such, we were separated from the provision and promises of God. Because we did not know God, we were separated away from the provisions of God. And all the salvation of God that we are supposed to receive, all the promises of God, we were separated from them. Then we go on down further, you'll find that in chapter verse 13 to 18, you'll find that not only we separated, but now Jesus broke the wall of animosity. He talked about the condition that we are headed. We were heading towards the hell. And he talks about how we Gentiles were brought together as in the household. That is why we call about a household, right? Paul tells us that not only Jesus reconciled, the walls were not only because of the walls. If you go back and read, if you understand the Jewish system, the cultures of Jews, and you understand the temple, how the temple was magnificently built, and how the Gentiles court, they cannot go anything above that. It's about 4 feet high. They cannot go above that. There is writing that only Gentiles can come until this part. You cannot go inside. Because Solomon built the temple, and he says, everyone can come to this place, whether it's Jews, or the chosen one people, or the Gentiles, or anyone, foreigners come there, they will have their prayers answered. Amen? You go and see Kings, 1 Kings chapter 6, 7, and you'll find when he's praying, he says, anyone who comes and prays in that place, they will find solace. They will find answered prayers. That God of Israel will manifest to the people at a time. Amen? So the Gentiles were separated. There was a wall between the Gentiles, the people who are in the world, and the chosen people. Do you follow what I'm saying? There is a wall. The Jews were chosen. The Israelites were chosen. He said, these are my people, chosen people, he says. The word of God is very true. From the beginning, you are my chosen people. From Abraham, he said, I've chosen you. But the others were not chosen. Do you follow? That is why there's a wall. So Jesus, in the time when he went up to the cross, I'm just going a little bit further so that you understand what I'm going to speak afterwards. Jesus went up, not only he tore that curtain that everybody can go directly to God, directly, but he also broke the wall. The animosity that had been between the chosen ones and the Gentiles. Do you follow what I'm saying? There was a kind of animosity. There was an animosity within two people, group of people. The people I am chosen, I am the elite people, and the others were not chosen. So Jesus broke that wall. So Paul speaks about it in verse 14 onwards and down to 13 onwards down to 18. And he talks about the cross, how it's run. So he broke the wall. Animosity has been broken. There's no more animosity. There's no separation between the chosen one and the sinful people. So we are one of them. I'm one of them. I was brought in by the Lord into the chosen people, and we are grafted as a children of God. Amen. Praise God. But you see, the next part of it is from verse 19 to 22. Let's read 19 to 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. We'll explore today what he's talking about. In the church camp, I just talked about, very lightly, about being citizens together with the saints. Then we talked about members of a household. Let's go a little bit further up. What is he talking about? You see, you'll find Paul uses metaphor. What is a metaphor? Figure of speech. He used figure of speech so that he can directly go to the people. The king of speaking figuratively is Jesus Christ. The Lord himself speaks figuratively. Many times in his most of his parables, he spoke figuratively. And most of his teachings, he spoke figuratively, metaphorically. How do we say that? Why do they say it in metaphorically? Because, you know why? To compare within two persons, two parties, to compare. That's why he speaks about metaphorically. Okay? Now, figuratively, as Jesus said, I can give you some of the literal verses that he spoke about figuratively. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. Jesus said that. Is that right? You are the salt. Are we salt? Can you touch somebody and see whether it's salty or not? I only know in the Bible one person was salty, who turned became a salt stone. Who is that? Lot's wife. So if she's around here, we can go and touch and see, take one salt and see. She's very salty. But how can we be salty? It's a figurative of speech. He used metaphor. You are the light of the world. I'm dark. I'm how am I going to shine, man? You put through light also, you can't see me through. You put a big spotlight behind me, you can't see through. My body will block it. How can I be a light? Right? So Jesus spoke figuratively, okay? Metaphorically. I am the door. Is Jesus the door, right? No? Right? He says he's the door. In John 10:9. I am the good shepherd. Is he a shepherd? Is he a... He's a carpenter. What do he knows about shepherding? Do you understand what I'm saying? He speaks about figure, because the people at the time were shepherds, fishermen. So he uses a lot of things that he can compare. He can show them the true life of the people at the time. And at that time, I believe God was blessing him and God was shining him through him, and the light was shining through, and everyone knows, I am the true wine. Is he a wine? Figurative speaking, John 15:1. I am the way, the truth, and life. Is he the way? He's the truth, yes. And the life. I am the bread of life. We read just now, John 6:35. I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the resurrection and the life. John. He used a lot of figurative. So Paul, the same spirit which is upon Jesus Christ is now upon Paul. Hello, do you get me what I'm saying? So the Spirit of God will not speak this different ways. Same Spirit will have the same direction of speaking, same way of treating. He will not change. God is changing or not? Is God changing God? We are blessed that God is not changing. Otherwise, we'll be changed every day. Right? So God is never changing God. We have to change. Now, when we talk about this, there are a few metaphors that he uses. Number one, metaphor of belonging. We are belong to, now therefore, he starts, says, the verse says, now therefore, verse 19, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, therefore. When he starts a sentence with now, therefore, what means say that? We have to refer back to the earlier verses. What he meant by now, therefore. What was the preceding verses? What was the preceding teaching he was telling? So he was telling about just now how we were enslaved, how we were in sin, and how God is brought. So now, first thing he talks about, metaphor he uses is, number one, he uses no longer strangers and foreigners. The word strangers refers to what? What is a stranger? Hello? What is a stranger? Are a person not of one's family. Is that right? If somebody walks in here, oh, he's a stranger coming in. No. If he comes to the household, into your household, and he's not a member of your family, that's called a stranger. Is that right? A stranger is a person who's not part of the community or a family. Do you follow? Are we getting somewhere? Alright. A stranger meaning is somebody is not of the household. What is a foreigner? A foreigner is a sojourner, a traveler in a country that is not their own home. They are called aliens. A foreigner is called aliens. Now we use in this world aliens only for those people who come from different planets. Right? Somebody talked about yesterday about a UFO found somewhere. I don't know who was that. Anyway, whatever it is, you know, aliens are called people from different planets. Now, let's look at why Paul used this metaphor. Why? Why does he use this metaphor of a stranger? We are no longer a stranger. Have you been a stranger in somewhere? Have you been a stranger? I've been a stranger. From Malacca, when I was young, I came here at about 20, 21 years old into Kuala Lumpur. I was a stranger to Kuala Lumpur. My neighbors were strangers to me, and they looked at me strangely because I was a stranger. When you move school somewhere or some job somewhere, you become a stranger in that community first before they accept you. Right? How many of you felt being a stranger? A stranger is someone who is not part of it. I came to this church also, I was a stranger. When I first came to this church, I was a stranger. I sit down one corner like a stranger. Right? I go to that corner where some of the sisters, Joyce, are around that area. I'll sit down there. Oh, a little bit further. I'll sit down there, folded my hands. A stranger. I don't want to see anybody. Everybody look at me differently. Right? A stranger. A feeling a stranger is important. Why do we feel stranger as a stranger? Because we are not part of that community or a family. Being a stranger in a town is also difficult. Because being a stranger, you do not know. You are looking from outside into the community. It's like looking into a glass door. This place is a glass door. And you're looking from outside, inside. Oh, those guys having nice meals, huh? Oh, pizza today. Oh, tomorrow they're having something else. Wow, look at the lamb. Oh, looks nice. You are a stranger outside looking at what they are doing inside. What they are comfortable in everyday's life. Now, what is a foreigner? What's a foreigner? Why does he use a foreigner? Foreigners are people who go to different countries, different places. Foreigners are simple. They travel by passports. Right? I'm a foreigner. When I went to countries, like different countries, you go to different countries, you not only do not know their language, you do not know their culture, you've got a passport, and they will decide when to throw you out from the country because you don't belong to that country. They'll give you 30 days or 60 days. ASEAN countries, 30 days. Brothers from America, they say they get the luxury of 90 days here. I'm very pleased. I go to ASEAN country, they say 30 days later you must stop again, and their extension is only 15 days after that. Unless you're a businessman, they give you 50 days. Alright? A business visa. So they can throw you out anytime. Because you are a stranger, you are a foreigner in their country. You don't enjoy the citizenship's rights. What is citizenship's right? They have a right to all the facilities. They can go to hospital anytime, get themselves admitted. They can go anywhere else. They can go to department. They can vote. They can pay taxes. They can have all the facilities in the nation. They can use it without any. They can travel anywhere they want. They cannot be thrown out of the country. Hello? Do you follow what I mean? And please, travelers, don't feel insecure. This church, we accept everyone. If you're thrown out, we'll join you together. Alright? So you will, we'll actually accept people here. But most important, travelers, the way he speaks about at that time, it's important for us to understand why he speaks. He's relating to us metaphorically so that we'll understand exactly what we are and who we are. Amen. Amen. So unless we know what we were and what we are now and where we were and where we are now, we will not go any further in the kingdom of God. Do you understand? So we know we have got all those things assembly. Why do we assemble? We have assembly reason for we are no longer strangers now. What is strangers? Now, if you go, I remember this time my brothers are here, Mexico. They started speaking in Spanish. I can't even get a taxi. I can't even get into the taxi. I can't even get into a bus. I really had a big problem in Mexico. Same thing the first time I went to Thailand. I had a big problem, especially down south is okay. To the northern side, we had a problem. Don't know how to communicate. Wudong Thani, they don't know, no speak in Malay. They speak all in Thai languages. No speak English. You have a problem, right? You are blessed in this country. We still, at least some people still speak English. I hope the policemen speak English, right? And we have people, we are a stranger, a foreigner at that time, and you really find difficult, you know, to communicate also, right? When we have, why Paul speaks about being in a, no longer a foreigner, that is say we are citizens. We are formerly people who are strangers. We were looking from outside the glass door and looking inside because we were filthy. We had all the sins. We were not wanted. But because Christ Jesus has done what he has done, we are now accepted into the family of God. Amen. Now we are enjoying the facilities of whatever God's promises are in our life for us. God promised us so many things. Every part of the Bible, it talks about promise to people. He promises to his chosen people, he's to his children. Now we can go and speak. We are no longer a stranger because we are part of the family. We are no longer a foreigner because a foreigner cannot see a king. Even I don't even see my king in this nation. Have you seen the nation king? How many of you shaken with the king? How many of you Malaysians here? All of us are Malaysians. There are some not. But anyway, you see, most important, how many times have you shaken the king's hand? Once in a year, maybe when he opens Hari Raya time, open house. And that also, you'll get a long queue. He'll put his hands out like that. You can know he's been stretching out his hand. It's really painful now. By the time you go to 10,000 people, you're already holding like that already. I think we talked about Moses. Somebody has to hold his hand so they can hold on to and shake hands with people. Because you don't get a chance to go on to. See, the difference between a foreigner and a citizen of the country is you can go to the king anytime. Amen? When you are no longer a stranger, part of the family, you can go to the king anytime. I'll give you a story of a man. I'm sure you heard about this. There was this king who was having a council meeting among his people. And he had all the council members, the prime minister and everybody was there. The king was seated there. So this boy, young boy, was trying to get inside, going to see the king. And this guard said, no, you cannot see the king. You cannot see the king. You cannot go. And this boy didn't care. He just brushed off everything. He ran. He turned around and told the guard, to you, he is a king. To me, he's my daddy. Hello? Hello? Do you get the point? When you become a stranger, no longer a stranger, you are no longer a person looking from outside. You are inside. You can enter into the kingdom of God anytime. And you can see the King of Kings at any time of the point of time because he is your daddy and my daddy. Amen? Do you get what I'm getting, Ma? So when you are a children of God, that we are no longer strangers, a member of the household, strangers don't see that they're not members of the household. We are now members of the household. We can see God anytime. We can go to the King of Kings anytime. Nobody can stop us. Can anyone stop you? Turn around to the next person and say, my Father in heaven is my daddy. I can see him anytime. I can talk to him anytime. I can chat with him. I can laugh with him. I can play with him. Because he's my daddy. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you every day speak to the God? How many of you actually speak to the God and say, Daddy, I thank you today. Daddy, I love you today. Don't ask anything. You know, my son, you know, yesterday he called up and said, you know, Papa, in the morning, what time are you going to church? Huh? What do you want? Son, what do you want, son? Tell me. Oh, I want to go here. Okay, fine, ma'am. So, you know, he doesn't matter. He can interrupt. We can interrupt. You see, the daddy we have is different. That's why Paul uses a strong word as foreigners and strangers. Metaphorically. We are strangers and we are foreigners. Now we are no longer foreigners. So when we assemble together as a member of the body of Christ, we look at ourselves as not foreigners, but we look at ourselves part of a family. What does a family do? Hello? Family sits down like a robot for 2 hours. After that, get up and go out. And next week, come back again, sit down here as a robot and sit inside here and then go out and come back, go out and see after 2 hours and come back next week after. Week after week, we are being robots, but we're not being a member of the family of God. Hello? Do you get what I'm getting now? A member of a family of God, a citizen of the kingdom. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. When we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that is the whole entire church is talking about. Anyone who is there today, somebody somewhere, praying somewhere, and every person who is calling Jesus Christ, they are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen? But we gather here as a member of the household of God. So we must behave like a member of the household of God. How many times do we behave like that? Unless we have this membership, that member, I'm not asking you church membership, write down, I told you, I'm not interested in the paper. Because papers can lie. Today you'll say something for the sake of saying, pleasing the pastor, tomorrow you don't have to say anything. But it's not about a paper, it's about a heart. It's about a mind. So Paul is using metaphorically to change our mind, change our heart, to see, we were a foreigner, look at yourself. You look at another foreigner here, in this country, when you walk around. I know we are not like that. We help them. We welcome them. But when you see outside people and they say, excuse me, do you know how to go this place? I don't know. Even I have asked my own Malaysians, excuse me, I'm lost. Can I know direction? Saya tak tahu. I don't know. But the man actually leaving the next road. Right? There are a lot of family members we have. How many family members you have not spoken to more than 2 years, 3 years? Family members are tied by bloodline. Hello? What's the relationship between you and your family member? It's the bloodline. I have not spoken to some of my family members some of my relations for 5 years, 6 years. Some of them don't want to speak to me because I'm now a Christian. But the other day when there was a death, somebody called me and said, so-and-so passed away. So I made it a point after that evening, I took Brother Andrew and I went, and I saw a huge congregation there. Everybody said, hello, 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 hello. But we are related by blood. When we come together as a member of a family, we are related by blood of Christ Jesus. Amen? We no longer have the DNA of ourselves, but we have the DNA of Christ Jesus. That is why, into entering into the kingdom of God, this morning we read, no one can go to heaven, no one can have eternal life, unless through the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. No one can go to heaven. So we are citizens, as long as we are called, we are citizens of the body of Christ. But in this body, we are here as one small little body, not as a building, but a gathering of people who has got the same bloodline as the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. Amen? Turn around and say to somebody, you and I belong to the royalties. By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Fantastic, isn't that right? So by the bloodline, we are called members of the family. So Paul is driving now to tell you that, you know, I go down onto the knees, not for the sake of anything else, for you and I, that is we, all of us Gentiles, and we were brought into this kingdom of God because of the citizenship that he worked hard. He became a prisoner of God. Amen. How many of us are prisoners of Jesus Christ that we are willing to reach out to those people outside there, especially our family members, especially our friends? You know, it's important for us to understand this. It's important for us to understand that we are no longer foreigners. We must behave like citizens. When you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, every powers be in the world. And he talks about in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3. You'll find that he talks, the powers being in the world was controlling us. Now they recognize you because you've got a bloodline of Christ Jesus. And they recognize you. Your name is written in heaven, in the book of heaven life. They cannot touch you. When you are a citizen of a country, you can move any part of the nation anywhere you want. You're recognized by a citizenship. You're not recognized by a passport. Temporary. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some of us who come to church and we say, we go to church anytime. Okay, I belong to a member of body. I'll sing one or two songs and I like that song. Oh Lord, yes, I like that. After that we finish and go off. But we are not a citizen of God. Of the kingdom of God. A citizen in the kingdom of God, they cannot strike you out from the citizenship. Do you follow? So Jesus Christ has given that authority to us. And we have all the principalities knows about that. And when we gather together, we are here to uphold one another. Remember the reason why you are here? For 3 E's. You're gathered here for 3 E's. Number one, established. Number two, encouraged. Number three, equipped. So it is not a person when you come here. How do you encourage, how do you keep a person if you don't know your neighbor? We come sometimes sit in one corner only. We don't want to mix around. We go to another corner, we sit down there. We don't want to mix around. We don't break that cycle that we have been having. I spoke about breaking the cycle of the old things. Unless you break the cycle of barrenness, you cannot be fruitful. Amen? I think I must preach that again. That's why we have to have a little bit more fruitful church. We have to be more fruitful in our lives. Amen? So we have to move on and say, yes, I'm no longer a stranger. I must behave like a member of the household. I can ask you, some of you, when you go to your family, when you go into your household, would you have reservation with your father and mother? Brothers and sisters? Do you have any kind of borders of reservations? You respect each other. You love each other. You respect for the person for being what he is or who she is. Some of them struggle with habits. Some of them struggle with certain things in their life. But we are supposed to be the encourager, not condemner. Jesus himself says, I did not come into this world to condemn, but to save. Amen. Praise God. So we no longer are ignorant, no longer people of God who are ignorant of God. We are now part of God, part in the family of God, citizenship of God. He has got a blessings. Whatever his blessings are, we will receive it. Whatever he can do for us, he will do for us. Amen. Like my son asked me this more yesterday. He wanted something, so he got what he wanted. Right? So same way, he will do that. What more can the Father in heaven can do much more than what the Father in heaven and the earth can do? When we preach about him, and we talk about him, it's about Christ Jesus, nothing else. We understand. When we talk about Jesus, or when you talk about anybody here talks about Jesus, we all understand him. We know him now. So when we have the common blood, and we know the knowledge, we are coming to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, then we know, every one of us know what we are talking about. Then we should not differ in doctrines. Hello? Do you understand? I think I spoke quite fast during the time of church camp. I'm going deeply into this today because it's important that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus as assembly of God. Amen? Assembly of people together. Citizen no longer without rights, but with all the standing. We stand by our rights now today. Citizens, we cannot be deported, but we are part of the kingdom of God. Citizens are today, like in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 says, and I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. So we are now no longer belong to what kind of tribes? Brothers come from America. Some of you come from, you had Iranian sisters here and brothers and sisters here. We have people from Iraq. We have people from Egypt. We have people from coming from Philippines. We have people from Thailand, Indonesia. We have got people from different nations who come here. Italy too now. But we used to belong to somewhere, somebody, but God has brought us together this time for a reason. Amen. We all belong in the same. But we were different before. Do you understand what I'm saying? We all were different in our own ways. But God brought us together. No longer strangers. No longer part of outside. We're no longer foreigners, sojourners. And Ephesians 2:18 says, and Hebrews, and also Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the King, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why? Because He is always willing to give us the mercy and grace to us. We have a birth certificate now. We don't have any longer a passport anymore. Amen. What is the birth certificate? In John chapter 3 verse 3 to 7 says, what he says? Unless you are born again, you are born. What does it mean born? The metaphor of birth. The second thing he's talking about, metaphor of birth. In other words, belonging to somebody. Somebody, in other words, a citizenship is because of birth. Your birthright now. We are now born again. We have the birthright with Christ Jesus. So we are sitting here. We cannot look down upon somebody or look up to somebody. But God puts us here for a reason. Amen? Amen. Praise God. This is actually what we are enjoying now. It's a far more intimate relationship than what we had before. Amen. Praise God. Now let's go down to see the metaphor of building. The building. He says here, fellow citizens of God, having been built in the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, metaphor of building. Not we are coming as a kingdom of God, not as a building, but as I said, as a family, as we gather together. We are not talking about a building that is the physical building outside here. We are talking about a building, something else there. As citizens, we are share the common country. Amen. We share a common country. As citizens of a nation, of the kingdom of God, we share, all of us share the same kingdom. Secondly, as children, we share a common bloodline. Number three, we are part of the building. What is the building? The building which is invisible. The building is the unity of Christ Jesus Christ. Amen. The building is actually the building of temples together. Amen. Amen. And we come together as a temple. A gathering of temples. Amen. Amen. That's the building he's talking about this morning. Now, you see, look at today Malaysia. We have a common citizenship. But because of certain things, we have disparity too. Amen. Do we have that? A lot of disparity. But we are united for the nation, aren't we? We can differ in doctrines. There are many people, many churches have difference in doctrines and everything else. But we are united for Christ Jesus. Amen. We are united for the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. We are standing as united. Who is keeping the unity in the body of Christ? It's Christ Jesus Himself. It's not anybody else. Now building, we'll talk about building. He talks here about in whom we are built, that being the chief cornerstone. Let's look at the chief cornerstone now. Why was the metaphor of cornerstone used at the time? In any building at that time, nowadays we've got this piling, is that right? We've got all the piling go down, 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 that's the strength. In any building, whether it's fat or strong or small or round, the building must be seeing the cornerstone. It's very important. The establishment of the cornerstone is very important. When the cornerstone is established very well, the strength of the entire building depends on this cornerstone. Hello? Do you get what I'm saying? I know you're not engineers, neither am I. Okay? I read that, you know, when the olden days, when they have the building, they have to have this cornerstone first, because this cornerstone has to be established. It's the foundation. Amen? The foundation must be laid very well. If the foundation is strong, today is the piling is strong, then the building can stand up to 12 story or 180 stories, whatever stories you want to have. It can be strong in whatever position you want to have it. You want to have it circular or you want to have it square, you must position it exactly what you want to position it. So that the cornerstone will be strong. Our cornerstone of unity depends on the strength of Christ Jesus. Our assembly depends on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. Now, today we look at buildings. Now, I do not know, when you go back and see 1 Kings chapter 6 onwards, you'll see how he was building. Chapter 5 onwards, you can see how Solomon built the temple, magnificent temple for the kingdom of God. He went to Hiram, the king of Tyre. He sent some money, some things, and they sent back some of the stones. And then we have Lebanon. From Lebanon, he also got stones and also trees, pillars, timber, right? See, the stones and the timber for the temple of God was not from one place. It was different places. Do you follow what I'm saying? Right. Same way, to build this temple we are now in, this Christ, the building, that kingdom of God, God uses different quarries. Some of you come from America, some of you come from South Africa, some of us come from India, some of us come from different nations, but God uses different people as the building, as the source of his building, to build his building. Do you follow? Hello? So we cannot have prejudice among people. Oh, that nation is a poor nation, I don't want to go lah. Oh yeah, very difficult. Oh, those people have got different practices, I don't want to go and minister to them. God didn't call us to be that. We are supposed to be appreciating everybody else according to what he says. The building is built from different quarries. As they built the temple, it was brought in from many quarries. We are citizens of different kingdoms, but more than that, we are members of the same family. Members, more than that, we are components of the same building. We are in the same building. We are part of the building. The metaphor he uses as a stone is very important, because sometimes you'll see when a stone is used. Some of us come from different quarry. I come from a different quarry. I had so much of sharp edges. So the Lord has got to pick me out from somewhere. He draws me, and then he clicks out all those, you know the masons, what they do? They knock off all the rough edges, and they put me in the right place where it's supposed to be. So building of God, the cornerstone, when he builds the building, the temple itself, he has to build according to where it can be placed. He will have the size, different sizes. In the olden time, the sizes were not all the same. The sizes were different. You go back and see in the temple, if you go to Israel, you'll find the temple, the old temple, the sizes are all not same. They've cut some or other, I don't know how they cut it out, it's so smooth, and they brought up. And according to the word of God says that Solomon did have the temple raised up without even one noise from the hammer or a chisel. Not even a single noise came out, but the stones were hewn out. Amen? Wonderful, isn't it right? God is so good. God is so good. And Pawson, I've not been to the place. David Pawson says he went to the place where it was. Actually, it's a limestone like. When it cut inside, it's soft. When they come out outside of it, bring it outside, it gets oxidated. It's hardened. So it's easier for them to cut. That's what he says. I've not been to the place yet. But I pray that I'll get one day to see. You'll see that, no, at that time, every stone was brought from different. God has got a chisel. Today, Jesus Christ is chiseling all of us now. He's knocking off every edges so that he can put into one. Some he puts beside, some he puts above, some he puts below. So that a building will be built accordingly. If today you look at this, if you strip off this plaster, you will find some bricks are here, some bricks. Now today all the bricks are same size. I'm fat. My tummy is bulging outside. So my size will be different. Some of you are thin. So your size will be different. God has got to put you according to fit you inside. How this building is going to build, you are part and parcel. Some of us are above, some of us are below. Some of us are beside. It doesn't matter where. But God is building us day by day so that we can reach to be Christ-like more. So in this image. So when he builds this bridegroom, when he builds this bride, the bride, the church, is not the entire church, Lord. If the bride, the stone, single stone is good, so the other stones are good. So all become good together. Amen. It's not the building, but it's you and I who is the temple of God. Amen. So Christ is building the temple of God by knocking off the edges. So in knocking off the edges, that is why the three E's are important for us, because we must equip. Unless somebody tells me, Pastor, you are like this today, and I think I disagree with you. Unless you tell me my faults, I do not know. Do you follow what I'm saying? I might be speaking in arrogance. So, Pastor, I don't know why there was some air inside you today. You're talking like that. Why are we condemning people like that? Unless you tell me, I do not know. I could be walking in pride. I could be boastful. But if you don't tell me, I do not know. You don't knock me and tell me, hey, God uses every one of us to equip one another. Hallelujah. Amen. So God sometimes speaks to you directly, but God also speaks to people. If the people are not going to talk, he'll call the donkey out or the cow outside and buffaloes outside and tell us how to behave. So assembly of people of God must be a people who are being built daily, every minute, every second of the day, to become perfect in Christ Jesus. So the building, the church, which he's looking at, the groom, the bride that he's looking at, will be ready for him to come. Amen. Amen. It's not a temple in Jerusalem. They are building the second temple in Jerusalem. It is not that temple. It's this temple we are talking about. The important part of thing that he is giving us today is the King of Kings, the Mason, who draws us together. He pulls us together. In the verse, you'll find that he says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the apostles and prophets, what did they do? They received the word of God. They will receive the word of God from Jesus Christ. When they received the word of God, what did they do? They spoke it to others and testified to others. So how many of us are testimony to others? For that generation, they prepared and testified. And followingly, there was another generation laid down. And followingly, another generation laid down. So far today, we have this generation. We are here today. There are so many layers of testimonies. Hello? There are so many thousands of layers of testimony, because every generation has a testimony, the word of God. But the word of God never changed. It's the same. But the testimonies increase day by day. Amen? Testimonies increase day by day. So we are supposed to be a testimony-giving people. Are we testifying every day in our life? Are we a testimony to people? Is our life a testimony to people? If it is not so, the members gathering together are not fruitful. Amen. Ouch. People of God has got to rise up from this. Break away from this. They only depend, oh, pastor, or these elders. No. We understand this. We have to get together in the infrastructure. And even preachers, when they come here to this church, I want to advise you. Listen very carefully. I also give you authority to test the spirit. I want every church members who can come and say, pastor, I don't feel right. This man is coming. I feel right. It's good. Then I know you're speaking to God. Right? Don't be so carried away. Sometimes some of the things, the teachings could not be right. Check back to the word of God. Is it parallel to the word of God? Even James speaking, hi, James, today you went out of the road. This is not the truth. Right? You must accept what is truth from the word of God. Cannot be outside somewhere. You cannot add something to flavor us. I don't want to touch about grace yet, because now you see, the earlier part is grace, the first part. I want to talk about it later. I'm building a message for the grace for almost a year now. But I know God is going to give one strong message for grace. Somebody has written books about grace, but I know God is going to not let grace be used cheaply. Amen. Praise God. So today we will find we must test the spirit. So as church member of the body of Christ, as Christ is building you, each one of us individually, we are supposed to now understand that he is not building. He says, verse 22, in whom you also are being built. Being built is a continuation. It's a present continuation. Right? Together for a dwelling place of God. Let's see, just a continuation. He's building us every day in our life. So Paul understood that. Paul knew what he was saying. Paul was a man who was different before and has been changed. You must understand, when he teaches, God uses the person's testimony to develop the testimony for us. God will speak to somebody in a different way. If you see a person who has been in the prison, he comes out. If you see a person, I know some of you heard a message from a drug addict who was peddling with drugs and everything else. He came and gave a testimony of himself. And he thought, he speaks it differently because God will use him in his experience. God might use you in your experience. And use a metaphor to say, I am cooking. When I was cooking, you know, I put this on. You will come up with something. God will give you something. So that you can be a testimony. Same way, Paul is a man who was different. He was a man who was slave to sins. He was a man, although he knew the laws and everything else, you must understand him before you can understand what he teaches. When the Spirit of God uses him to, through his experience, to teach. So he's talking about now, he says, now, for so many years, I'm still being mentored. I'm still in the prison of Christ Jesus. I'm still being mentored. Day in, day out. That is why he says, when he says, I have got a problem, I got a thorn in my flesh. Lord, take away this thorn. What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient enough for you. His grace is abound in the weakness that this man has got problems. Whatever the problem could be. Because the Bible doesn't say, some theologians say this and that. I don't know, whatever the problem is on his flesh. God's grace was upon him so that he'll never go away from him, Christ Jesus. Whatever miseries he went through because of the flesh, but he never went away from Christ Jesus. So in the process of building, he's talking about more than what we are dealing with daily. As a member of citizen of Christ, of the family of the saints, they come together. As the member of the body of Christ, they come together. They now behave differently. Hello? How can we shine the light outside when we can't shine the light inside? How can we be salty outside when we don't let our brothers and sisters taste our salt? They'll tell you whether very salty or just mild or just okay lah. We have to show ourselves, brothers and sisters. Hello? So member of body, God is looking for the Christ. He didn't say, I'm looking for the whole world. I'm coming back for the whole world. He says, I'm coming back for my bride. He's not coming back for the whole world. He said, my bride. Who is the bride? The church. Who is the church? We are the church. The church is an assembly of temple of God. So when he's talking about, you know, molding you, building us up, he's building this temple. Amen. Praise God. So the temple will be holy. The temple will be presentable to God. Temple will be presentable to the bridegroom so that the bridegroom will see the temple holy and shiny and salty, so nice that he's so tasty he'll draw it back to you. Amen. The building cannot be salty. You're going to lick that one on the wall, you'll see chalk and cement and sand. What else? I do not know. But we are the one who's supposed to be tasty. Amen. Praise God. The last part of it I want to share with you. Paul shares a message of salvation to us. That he did not do this because he wanted to do it. Just now he's saying, it's not by him, not by your works, that you are saved by his work. That's why he talks about the grace in the beginning of the message. You'll find chapter 2, you'll find he's speaking about the entire message about grace and mercy. So it's because not by our works, it's not because of who we are, that we are here today as a Christians, but it's because of the bloodline of Christ Jesus that we are in the kingdom of God. Amen? He talks about salvation. Number 2, he talks about the success. He's not only building the people as a chief cornerstone, as a mason, building us after year, but he's also talking about a success. He says, being fitted together. Right, as I said just now, we fitted together in up and out. But a success, there is going to be a success that we will hold this church together as one person, as one temple. All these temples come together, we will hold together as one another so that we all help each other to rise up to the times of things. And it grows day by day. Right? It grows day by day. Paul shares certain things in our life which we will not forget in this little 4 verses he talks about. He talks about miracles. How many of you see miracles in that? We see only miracles when we see somebody raised to the dead, somebody is healed. Do you see miracles in these few verses, the 4 verses we have read? He talks about miracle of redemption first of all. Amen. That we were not what we are before, what we are today, different from what we were. The miracle of redemption did not come because who we are. The miracle of redemption came because of Christ Jesus. Amen? So sometimes we boast ourselves. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a holy, holy, holy dark Christian. Oh, you are Nola. No, brothers and sisters. You and I are here. How holy are you? Doesn't matter. But how filthy you were, it matters. Remember that. So we cannot judge another person and say, I am holy art thou, and that person is condemned to be like that. We are here not by our works, by the works of Christ Jesus, on the cross for us. Number one, miracle of redemption is upon our lives. He talks about miracle of redemption in these four verses. Number two, he talks about miracle of rehabilitation. Not only are we redeemed, we are rehabilitated now. Rehabilitated so that he can use you to make you different from what you are now. Sometimes it is a process. Sometimes it happens like that. I've seen people who give up smoking just like that, give up addictions like that. Just by praying like that, they give up everything or give up some kind of habits they've been having, pornography or whatever things they've been having, or into adultery, they can give up like that because Spirit of God just came upon them and the fire of the Holy Fire has taken away everything. But sometimes, some people, it's a process. Because soaked inside our flesh, although we come out, the memory does not come out, burn out like easily. So it takes a process. So it's a process that God, the redemption, rehabilitation takes some time. You know, when we are rehabilitated, when you go for rehabilitation centers, you'll find people take time, 6 times. There was a man who came here, who was in the Lord for a long time, but he had a problem of drugs. He does all the good works, but he had a problem with his drugs. Even his wife can't control him. If he goes this side of the Penang Road, he says, there's one more person there, it's a peddling drug, I have to stop by and buy the drug. If not, means if he goes, he says, I told him not to go this road. He said, I go this side. Pastor, I have another one. There are two guys that are waiting there. I pass by, I see temptation. Oh, you are surely I must take. So whichever way it goes, you know what he does? He'll go and feed the poor. He's got a company of his own. After feeding all the poor, he goes home nicely. Suddenly you'll find this guy reminding. He comes to that spot where all the signboards, and he sees, oh, this guy's house. Suddenly the urge for him to have this truck. We tried to help him, couldn't help him. Went into, sent him to a center, but he jumped out of the center. Right? He couldn't stand because he needed the drugs. He's a good man, good husband. Only problem was the drug. Right? He jumped out of the thing with all the stripes and all, as if he's a prisoner. He came out without any money. Right? Now we sent him to another place. He's healed. It took him 1.5 years. 1.5 years just to get out of the drug. It's not easy. So rehabilitation takes some time. You are confined to certain areas. So you're confined to certain areas. You're restricted from your movements. Rehabilitation, you're restricted from movements. If let us say, for example, if I am an alcoholic, if there is a person, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And if the person is an alcoholic, if you go out, you know, if you see that pubs are the one, I like goody goody pubs. Oh my gosh, now the pub looks nice, now tasty. Now suddenly I'll start slavering. You know, I must have this drink or whiskey or vodka, whatever, beer, whatever it is. Suddenly all the thoughts will come up, bombarding my whole body. Suddenly I will become weak and I'll go into the pub and sit down and drink. I will thought of having one glass and probably until morning next day I will have finished off. Some people are laughing now. I know those. The Spirit of God can reveal. Amen. So, it could be same thing. Somebody can go into the internet and they go out and suddenly they are excited about something which pops up and they goes inside deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and they get absorbed into it and they sit down the whole day, whole next day morning. They can't go to work. They call up and say, I'm on medical leave. And a little while later, half a day later, they'll go up and ask for medical leave from the doctor. They pay 20 ringgit or 30 ringgit to get medical leave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because you need rehabilitation. You have to be restricted so you don't go to this place. We talked about habits. How do you overcome habits? Breaking prison walls. We talked about prison break the other time. Rehabilitation is important. But in all this, the last one he's making is, in whom also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The miracle that God made in us, the third miracle He's made in us, in this time as we come, He has made what I felt I was before. And God now allowed, not only rehabilitated me, but He also allowed His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in a temple which was filthy, now cleansed. Amen? That is a miracle. You cannot get that. You know, you've got a drug problem, you've got an alcohol problem, you've got any problems in the society, they've already branded you. You come out of a prison, they've already branded you. You ask for a job, you can't get. Very difficult for you to get a job. Even the society don't accept. Even your own families don't accept. But God, not only He gave me salvation, not only He rehabilitated me, redeemed me, and rehabilitated me, but He also allowed His Holy Spirit to come inside me. and dwell within me. Amen. The spirit work of God is that his desire, that the spirit of God, the image of the Father, that who created every man and woman, and that the God that blew the breath unto Abraham, that same breath will live in us, dwell in us. And the bride shall be ready. And the bride, when he walks in the spirit, he will be able to overcome anything and everything which is not of God. I want to repeat that. When the spirit of God lives in you, and he makes this temple holy, when he makes allow him to make that temple holy, and you allow him to let the spirit of God reside in you, he will be the comforter. He will be the one who is going to mentor you and to get out of the things of the world that you cannot overcome, but he will overcome for you. And he will lead you into the right path. Amen? Praise God. So the temple that he's building today, Paul is talking within this four sentence. The four sentences he talks about is about the redemption, the miracle that God has done in our lives. So why do we gather today before? So that we can rejoice the miracle that we have. When the fire of God comes together, when the holy temples of God come together and assemble together, when they worship, the power of God will be so great that even the neighbors will feel it. Amen. Amen. The entire Sri Hartamas will feel it because we can rock the place. Amen. Do you understand what Paul is saying today? Paul is desiring. His desire, he says, is that I believe that you are a people of God who are able to do the things that can overcome the things the world cannot overcome. We are in the world, but we are different from the world. Amen. So for the purpose that he was set aside, for the Gentiles to come to know the Lord, and even the Gentiles, when they come to know the Lord, they will not only come to know the Lord, they will live with the Lord. Amen. That's the purpose God has set for him. See, if the same cause he has given to us as a church of Ephesus church at the time he's given, today he's giving it to every church. Our anthem now is a new anthem. By the amazing grace of God, that we are redeemed. By the amazing grace of God, that we are changed, rehabilitated. By the amazing grace of God, that we are allowing the temple now to be holy, and the Spirit of God can reside in this temple. It's no longer about a temple, the magnificent temple of what Solomon did in the years in 1 Kings, but it's a different temple now. This temple is glorious than the temple before. Amen. Amen. He says, I will bring you from glory to glory. How can it be glory to glory? Because that was the glory at that time. Because the Ark of the Covenant was placed there. You read very carefully the way Solomon describes the way he has built the temple. I can't imagine. So magnificent. But today, God has created a bigger temple. A greater temple. A temple that moves around anywhere. Can be anywhere. You don't have to go to the Jerusalem to go to the mountain. Or you don't have to go to Zion or anywhere else to do it. But you can find it in us. If we allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So today the workmanship of Jesus Christ is found in you. If you want to know more about it, go and look for a mirror, which is your size. If it is bigger size, you get a broader one. If it is taller size, you get a taller one. Go and stand in front and see, that's a miracle of God. That's a miracle of God. Who you are today, where you come from, and who you are today. Amen? Praise God. So his purpose is to build this temple, that a temple will be holy, and he will be attracted to his holy temple, and the bridegroom shall be attracted to his holy temple when he comes, and he sees a gathering of people, citizens of the kingdom of God, the assembly of the people, members of the kingdom of God, household of God, when they gather together and they feel holy, they uplift one another. And see, God says, it's ready now. It's ready now. My bride is ready. I'm going to come for this bride. Amen? Glory to God. Praise God. Let's bow our head. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. As you prepare us, Lord, in every area of our lives, that we are not gathered here by accident. We are gathered here from different nations, different parts of the world. We are gathered here even in the nation of Malaysia. That from different states, we are gathered here, Father. You have a purpose for us. As you have called Paul to be set aside as a prisoner of yours in prison, Lord, he did not feel that he is imprisoned by you. He didn't feel intimidated when he felt that the Romans were imprisoning him or the Jews were imprisoning him. None of them. But Lord, he gave himself to you so that he can, Lord, imprison him in you so that the works of yours can be glorified. I thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for whatever you're doing in our lives. Even this time, oh Father God, that you are the mason, the chief cornerstone. You are the chief mason. You're building every brick today. Every one of us will be part of that church. The bride that you're looking for. Holy Spirit, help us to be one. Mold us more and more in the character and the image of Christ Jesus. Mold us into the things that God wants out of us. It's not what we want out of God, but it's what God wants out of us. Holy Spirit, help us. Move in us. That every sharp edge can be broken and knocked down. Shall be rounded, molded, that we can be placed where we are supposed to be placed, in the building of the church. Lord, what we are here, small congregation, but we want to be the fire for you. When we gather together, we'll remember that we are supposed to be a blessing for one another. We don't expect anything from others, but it's about how much we can give to others. Help us to empty ourselves to others so that we can empty ourselves to you, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, the church, the magnificent church you are looking for, we shall be part of that church. We'll be the stone, one of the bricks, placed according to your will, not according to our will. But according to your will, whether we are under another stone or 10 stones or above the 10 stones or 11 stones, whether we are beside a stone on a left and a right. But Lord, it is your decision. It's your will. Help us to humble ourselves, to see your work in us. Help us, Lord, that man and woman around us will see your handiwork in us. That not only pleasing to your eyes, but pleasing to the man and woman around us. Help us to be a better guide. Help us to be a good testimony. So that this generation we are living in will have a testimony. And they can forward the testimony and testify for the next generation, Lord. Then more and more testimonies will be accumulated, Lord. As from the prophets and the apostles, you established testimonies. We can be also be a testimony for this generation, Lord. Mold us, use us, above all, purify us, that we'll walk in your light. We open our hearts and our mind to you today, Lord. May your will be done in our lives. According to your plans. Father, we submit totally to you, Lord. We submit totally, Father God, our lives to you. If there is any hurting, Lord, we pray, Lord, that the hurting will go away today. If there are many disappointments in our life, we will not dwell upon the disappointments, but will remember the promises you have made for us. Lord, remove everything, every bitterness in us, so that, Lord, we will see you in others. Help us, Lord, that what you call us to be, we shall be. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.